believe in what God tells us in his word, that should do something in our hearts and should challenge us to share it. So the first point this morning is this. Who's your one should not end today, even though this is the last day of the series. We should be identifying people, and God should be putting them on our hearts and saying, that person, I'm gonna try to share my faith with them. I'm gonna try to build a relationship with them. And what we saw during this series is this is a commandment from the Lord. Take a look at this. Matthew 4:19. We're called to be fishers of men. Matthew 4:19. And he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. The NIV says fishers of people. We're called to do this. The second thing is we're commanded to be witnesses. We just saw it in verse 8 of Acts 1. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's not you might be. If you feel it's good to be. No, you will be. Right there, Jesus is, it's a commandment. He's saying you are to be my witnesses. And thirdly, we're commissioned to make disciples. Look at Matthew 28:19. Go, therefore. These are some of Jesus' last words. He's saying, based on what you've seen, based on what you know to his disciples, go therefore, now go and make disciples. What you've seen me do, how you've seen me act and live, I want you to do that and go. It's we're commissioned to make disciples. So we're called, we're commanded, and we're commissioned to do the work of who's your one. In fact, these are the marching orders for the church. This has given me a new perspective on church building. You see, I felt like when I stepped into full-time ministry that this was my job to build the church. You can say, well, that was kind of dumb. I know. But I did think that. But here's what I've understood through this process. It's our job to build the church. It's our job to build the church. And what that means is there's somebody on your street that needs to be right there. There's somebody in your workplace that's waiting for you to just get enough courage to build up and say, let me tell you how God has impacted my life and what it's mean to have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. They're waiting for that. You know, we get so uncomfortable stepping out, right? Because we've always been told there's two things you don't talk about at parties, right? Politics and, well, that's what a dying world says you shouldn't talk about. You can hold off on the politics, but you definitely got to talk about Jesus. And Jesus didn't invite us into a religion, did he? He invited us into a relationship, so you're clear. We need to talk about it. But there are people that are desperate and they're trying everything that they know how. Things that they saw their parents do, things that they see the world do, see that they see on e-television. They're just trying to do anything they can to be happy, to find peace, to find joy. And the answer is Jesus, and they're waiting for you to share it. We are called, we're commanded, and we're commissioned to make disciples. The second thing this morning is this. Watch to see where God is working and join him. Some of you, one of our life groups did the Henry Blackaby series, Experiencing God. Some of you have done that in other Bible studies or churches and different things. And let me tell you, Experiencing God is a phenomenal book. I would definitely recommend it. One of the stories that is so, it's spoken to me for years, and I think about it often, is Henry Blackaby was like a college pastor. And he was in a small church, and they were near a college, and they were going to set out to have a college ministry on the campus. And so he gathered all of his students. It was like 15 college students at the church. And he said, guys, we are going to have an active, exciting, and engaged college ministry. And for almost a year, they just couldn't get anything off the ground. They started Bible studies. They went into dorms. And they went into like the fraternities and sororities. They tried all this stuff. And it wasn't working. And God put on Henry Blackaby's heart one thing. Find out where I'm already working and join me in that. So he called everybody back and said, hey guys, I know that it's been a tough It's been a tough year, but the Lord has challenged me to do this. Join him. Just join him, that he's already working. And so he told him, he said, guys, I don't want you to try to start a Bible study. I don't want you to do anything. I want you to go, and where you see God working, just join him. And one girl came back and said, after the first day, hey, I was just in class, and this one girl walked up to me and said, hey, you're a Christian, right? And she said, yeah. She said, well, hey, we've got a Bible study of three or four girls in my dorm, and there's some difficult passages in Scripture, and we were wondering if you would help us interpret them. And she said, I would love to. And then another guy comes back and says, hey, I was walking with a guy, and he's going through a broken relationship, and he was just asking if I could pray with him. So I started praying with him, and then they created a group. And next thing you know, where people were identifying where God was working, they didn't try to start something new. They didn't try to get a bunch of people to come over here. They just saw where God was working, and they joined him. See, what we need to do, guys, the who's your one, is we need to see where God is working and then join him in that. It might be a coworker. It might be a family member. And let me tell you something. When somebody calls and says, hey, I'm going through a difficult time, God might be working. Might be an opportunity to pray. Or if somebody's starting to ask questions about, why is it that you have so much joy in your life? Or why is it that you don't ever seem to be going through difficult times? You're going to say, look, I go through difficult times, but let me tell you about Jesus. It could be anything, but you'll begin to recognize, wait, I see God working. I remember for me, I'm so excited about a Tuesday Bible study at our house, and I'll tell you why. Not because Chris is a pastor or he's going to seminary and blah, 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 but because God was working and B and I just joined him in that. And I'll tell you what, my brother-in-law said, Chris, the happiest time in my marriage was when we were coming to your Bible study at your house. We need to start a Bible study. It was like God hit me across the head. And the crazy thing for us is B and I are pastoring a church, but our family was dying. And I just remember, some people say, you're always talking about this Tuesday Bible study. I'm like, I love the Tuesday Bible study because I see God working. And all we did is say, God, I see somebody reaching out and asking, we're just gonna go where you're going, God. And there are people that come to this church today because of the Tuesday night Bible study. Right, Billy? Amen. And guess what? He's a life group leader. At what time? 8:30 in that room? 8:30 in that room right there. He started coming to the Tuesday night Bible study. You see how God's working? Quick plug, 8:30, that room straight back there. All because all we did was say, if you're hurting and you're walking through a difficult time, but the happiest time was when you and your wife were coming to a Bible study, let's start a Bible study. That's all we did. And then God started working. We saw salvations coming. Hey, Berto. Berto, Tuesday night Bible study. How are you doing? Right there. There's people in our church today because of the Tuesday. All we did was join God in what he was doing. And let me tell you, it's not because of a pastor role or anything. It's because you and I can identify that God's working and just join him. So the first point is it shouldn't end after this series ends. The second point is begin to look where God is already moving and just jump in. Just jump in. The third thing is this. Be prepared to share your faith. One of the top reasons given for people not sharing their faith is they don't know how. They don't know how. You know, I remember going to a youth camp when I was young, and I learned how to share my faith. And there's a ton of them. I'm going to challenge you today. You got homework. Google how to share the gospel. There's lots of ways to share the gospel. But here's what the main thing that you need to know is that you were a sinner, lost, right? God had designed this world to be perfect, and it was to be paradise. But when sin entered in, right, everything went wrong. And we are sinners. We were born sinners. But God in his grace sent Jesus. God sent Jesus. And that by accepting him, I'm accepting his free gift of salvation, that he, by his blood, he'll wash me clean. And that anybody, everybody, or whosoever believes in him shall not perish. Right? Like, that's the basics. But here, I can make it even more simpler. If you're talking to anybody and wanting to share your faith, it looks like this. This is who I was. Jesus came in, and this is who I am. It doesn't get any simpler than that. I can stand up here today. I can tell you that I've struggled with cigarettes, and I've struggled with alcohol, and I've struggled with drugs. I was that kind of guy that I tried to impress people. I cared too much about people, and it got me into a lot of trouble. I was always trying to do things to impress people or be a part of the group, right? And I often found me in a lot of trouble. It often found me with addictions and different things that were dangerous and hurtful. And guess what? It left a long trail of a lot of brokenness. That's who I was. But Jesus. Jesus came into my life. And it wasn't the easiest, because from about the time I was 18 to about the time I was 28, I kind of had an up and down relationship. But when I finally decided I was going to follow him and I was going to make him Lord of my life, God changed my life. And I have joy that I was looking for. I don't need the approval of other people. Let me tell you, he calls me a son of God. He calls me his child. He calls me blessed. He calls me favored. And let me tell you something, I'm never going back to that guy. Because of the gift that I have, and even better is all that sin that I would have had to pay for, all that sin that had identified me, because of what he did on the cross for me, my debt has been paid. And I have so much joy, I have so much comfort knowing that. But do you see, all I did was say, this is who I was, this is what Jesus did, and now this is who I am. We have no excuse. We need to be prepared to share the gospel with people. So if the first thing is the who's your one doesn't end, it's got to keep going. So who's your next one? That series is from here until heaven. Who's your next one? The second point, what did I say my second point was? Oh, yeah, yeah. Watch where God's working and join him in that. The third thing is be ready to share the gospel. Gospel is a fancy Christianese word for the good news. It is great news that Jesus Christ came for us and went to the cross willingly to pay for our sins. There's a lot of news out there. A lot of fake news. A lot of disturbing news. A lot of uncomfortable news. News that makes you feel insecure. News that makes you fearful. News that makes you feel less than God ever intended you to feel. But the world needs to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, you have to be prepared to share your faith. The fourth thing is remember how important this work is. Eternity depends on it. This world, this life is not all there is to life. There's more. There's an eternity on the other side of this. We don't get to decide how and when things happen. We don't get to decide certain things. But let me tell you something. You will go to eternity. You will go to eternity. And people, our neighbors, our friends, our family members, somebody's got to get a little uncomfortable and say, hey, look, eternity's coming. We have to remember that there is eternity coming. We have to remember that eternity depends on you being willing to share your faith. This is not a popular message. People don't like it. But what God's really challenging us today to hear is, look, you're here now. Somebody prayed for you to be here. Now your job is to pray for another person to come here as well. It's not popular, right? It's not, it's, It's not the feel-good message sometimes that churches have. Sometimes we have them. But it's the most important message because there are people dying, and if you don't get up out of your seat and go tell them about Jesus, it may be the only opportunity they have. Yes, we're going to go to heaven and be with the Lord forever. But no, we're not supposed to go alone. Our job is to get as many of our neighbors, friends, and family members as we can to go with us. Acts 1:11, which we read this morning, Jesus will come the same way you saw him. There is a sense of accountability. There's a sense of urgency that Jesus is coming back. All that he did for us to do through us, we are to share this with others. People like us are going to spend eternity somewhere. Sadly, some will die and go to hell in spite of all of our efforts. Others, more sadly, will go in the absence of our best effort. But with some effort, there will be people joining us in heaven. You know, thinking of this whole series, God is challenging us. God wants for us to make ourselves available and willing to share our faith. So as we conclude this morning, who else is God identifying in your life? Think of that person that you know that they don't have a relationship with the Lord. And I want you to remember that God is working. I want you to know that you're called, commanded, and commissioned. I want you to remember that you need to be prepared when the opportunity presents itself to share the gospel. And I want you to remember, even through the uncomfortableness, even through the weirdness, or I'm not sure how they're going to take it, this, that, and the other, is that eternity depends on it. You see, if we love God, I'm talking to us, church, if we love God and we believe God at his word, this is the very thing that we need to be focused on. Sharing our faith. Identifying that next one. What a wonderful series. What a wonderful time. It's a little uncomfortable at times. But what I love about it is we ask you to identify somebody. So you had to pray and ask. How often does the church pray and ask and expect an answer from God? That's what I love about this. And then how often are we dependent upon the Lord? Lord, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to talk to Joe, my cubicle mate. But Lord, if you don't show up, he's going to think I'm dumb. We've been dependent upon the Holy Spirit to speak through us. Guys, this series, Who's Your One? This is what we should be focused on. This is the mission of the church. And I praise the Lord for these past 7 weeks that we've been able to work through this together. And let me tell you, God has worked through you. People are coming to know the Lord. What I love about that is we think in terms of one person. But you know what? If that person has kids and those kids have kids, the likely chance that you have just changed hundreds, if the Lord delays, you can change the face of heaven by being willing and being available.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.